Take your Bibles tonight, Judges chapter 7. Judges chapter 7. We're going to continue our study of the story of Gideon, or Zerubbabel, as his father renamed him. But you remember the last couple of weeks we've talked about his call of God to lead the Israelites against the Midianites. And last week we talked about the three signs that God gave him to assure him that God had called him and that the task that God wanted him to do, that God was going to be with him and help him do it. And so you remember one of those signs were that Gideon offered a sacrifice to God, a present to God, as the Bible calls it. And there was fire that came out of a rock and consumed that sacrifice. Then there were the two signs involving the fleece. First of all, the fleece was to be wet and the ground around it was to be dry. And then the second time, the fleece was to be dry and the ground around it was to be wet. And in both of those things, God was, again, assuring Gideon that his call, he had understood the call and that he knew what God wanted him to do. So we start tonight in chapter 7, verse 1, where the Bible says, "Then Jeroboam, again, that was the name that his dad gave him after he tore down the altar of Baal. And you remember that was the first thing that God asked him to do. It was his father's altar to Baal. And God said, I want you to tear it down, and I want you to cut down the grove that's close to it. And Gideon took 10 of his servants, and they did that. When the town got up the next morning, they were upset, and they wanted his dad to hand over Gideon so that they could punish him. And his dad, even though it was his altar, said, now listen, if Baal's a god, he don't need any help punishing this boy that tore down his altar. And so he gave his son this new name, which basically means let Baal plead for himself. If he's really a god, he can take care of this himself. We don't need to help him. Who is Gideon? And all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And so Gideon and all the folks that were with him, now we're going to learn in just a minute that there's 32,000 people with them. And the Bible says they rose up early. They were ready to get at the task that God had called them to do. I believe that Gideon had shared his call with these men. I believe that he had shared the signs with these men. You remember they had been under the rule of Midian for 7 years. And so when Gideon said, hey, God's ready to free us from this oppression. He's called me to lead you. He's given me these signs. And so they were with him. And so they rose up early because they were ready to get after it. They were ready to get to the task that God called them to do. And, you know, the same ought to be true today. It ought to be true of us today. There are too many Christians that are hesitant to do what God wants them to do. And we have the promise. We have a promise. God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. He's always with us. And he's made it pretty clear in the commands that are just in this book, let alone with the things that he's revealed to us as individuals, what he wants us to do. And so we need not to be hesitant. We just need to get at it. It's exciting to see God work. And yet we're slow to see it because we're hesitant just to get at the things he's called us to do. And so we just need to get at it. We need to get up early. We don't need to waste time. We don't need to hesitate. We just, as the commercial says, just do it, what God has called us to do. So again, this verse tells us that the Israelites were pitched by a well. And in a minute, I'm going to tell you there was a little creek or stream that flowed by this well that God was going to use to give the army a test. And the Midianites were pitched in the valley. So the Israelites from this hill that they were, a mountain called Gilead, again, we'll read about in another verse, they could look down and they could see the host of the Midianites. Now, I'm just going to skip ahead and tell you that in verse 12, it says that they lay in the valley like grasshoppers, and their camels were without number, like the sand by the sea. And so there was a whole bunch of them, just a whole lot of the Midianites that were there to fight. And in verse 2, "And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands." And I'm sure Gideon thought, "Now just a minute, God. Can't you see what we see? We're up on top of this hill. I know there's a lot of us, 32,000 is a lot of people, but look at all those people down there. I mean, there's a bunch of them. I mean, we can't even count them. Are you sure there's too many of us?" Then God goes on, "Lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me." God wanted to make sure that when the victory was won, and the victory was going to be won, that the Israelites didn't say, "Look at what we did. Look at what we accomplished. Look at the victory that we have won." And so God wanted to get this army down to a size that when they won, they could look to heaven and say, "Thank you, God, because we know it wasn't us, it was you." You know, God works the same way today. Sometimes that's why things get so bad in our life. That's why our problems get so big. Sometimes that's why our heartaches get so big. Because if God kept them to a size that we could handle ourselves, or that another person could handle ourselves, he wouldn't get any of the credit. And so he keeps piling them on sometimes to get us at the end of our rope, to where we have to look up when he works and wins the victory. We have to look up and say, "I know it wasn't me, and I know it wasn't any other man. It had to be you, God. And I praise you for that." And so when he keeps piling things on, just know that he's getting to you to the point where you're going to recognize that he's going to work and he's going to win the victory. "Now therefore," here's God talking to Gideon, "you got too many men. Now therefore, go to proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whosoever is fearful and afraid, let him return and depart early from Mount Gilead. And there returned of the people 22,000, and there remained 10,000. Now, I want to tell you, so Gideon goes to the army and he says, "Who's ever afraid, go home. Just go ahead and leave. If you're fearful, go home." I want to tell you, this wasn't a special circumstance for this particular situation. Back in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 20, God gave instructions to his people about what they should do as they got ready to go into a battle. And one of the things he told them in verse 8 of that chapter, "And the officers shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, what man is there that is fearful or faint-hearted? Let him go and return unto his house, lest his brethren's heart faint as well as hear his heart." So God, this was a general instruction. He says, when you get to go into battle, ask the question, who's afraid? And if there's anybody that is afraid, let them go home. Because God knew that fear was contagious. And if one soldier was afraid and another soldier saw that fear, then that second soldier would be afraid also. And God said, you know, a soldier that's afraid is not going to fight very well. So if they're afraid, let them go home. And so Gideon made that proclamation, whoever is afraid, and again, here you are on top of this hill. Yeah, there's a lot of people with you. 32,000, again, is a good group. But as you look down, I mean, there's so many. They fill the valley. You can't count their camels. They're like the sand of the sea. I would probably be in that group of 22,000 who would raise my hand and say, well, I'm a little afraid. I think I'll go home. Well, there were 22,000 of them that went home, left with 10,000. And I'm sure Gideon said, okay, now we got an army. Surely God doesn't think that 10,000 is too many to go fight this host that we see in the valley. Verse 4, "And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people are yet too many. Bring them down into the water, and I will try them for thee there. And it shall be that of whom I say unto thee, this shall go with thee, the same shall go with thee, and of whoso ever I say unto thee, this shall not go with thee, the same shall not go. And so God said, Gideon, you still got too many. 10,000, even though I know their army has been cut by 55%. They went from 32,000 down to 10,000. You still got too many. I mean, if you go against the Midianites with 10,000 people, they're going to say, look at what I did, instead of looking at what God did. And so I got another test. Take the army down to the water. And there was a little creek that flowed near this well where they were. So he says in verse 5, so he brought down the people unto the water, and the Lord said unto Gideon, everyone that lappeth of the water with his tongue, as a dog lappeth, him shall thou set by himself. Likewise, everyone that boweth down upon his knees to drink. And the number of them that lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, were 300 men, but all the rest of the people bowed down upon their knees to drink water. So God said, now here's the test. Take them down to this creek and watch how they drink. And you're going to put them in two groups. Those that get down on their knees and put their mouth down in the water and lap like a dog, put those in one group. But those that sort of bend down and put their hand in the water and bring it to their mouth and drink, put those in another group. And those that put their hand in the water and brought it to their mouth, there were 300 of them. Those that get on their knees and put their head in the water and drank like a dog, there were 9,700 of them. Now, just stop and think from a practical standpoint. Which guy would you want in your army? I mean, if a guy's got his head down in the water drinking like a dog, the enemy could sneak up behind you and stab you in the back and you'd be dead. I mean, if I was picking soldiers, I'd want those guys that put their hand in the water that could keep their eyes open and know what's going on and bring the water to their mouth. By the way, I think God would have that kind of soldiers today. God doesn't want people that put their head in a hole in the sand or in the water and not see what's going on in the world. He wants us aware of what's going on in the world so that we can fight for him and stand for right and stand for justice. And the way to do that is not stick our head in a hole or not stick our head in the water. So here we are now. Gideon has put his army through these two tests. If you're afraid, go home. And he took them down and gave them the drinking test, so to speak. And he ends up with 300 men. Less than 1% of the army that he started with. Okay? I mean, 1% would have been 320. He didn't have 320. He had 300, probably 301 counting himself. Okay? I think there was, and I won't argue about that. I just think there was 301 because he was one and there was 300 guys. All right, verse 7. And the Lord said unto Gideon, by the 300 men that lapped will I save you and deliver the Midianites into thy hand and let all the other people go every man unto his place. And so I want you to notice. God said, send the 9,700 home. And by the 300 men, notice what he says, I will deliver the Midianites into your hand. This was going to be God's fight. He just let those 300 guys stay there so they could witness it. God was going to do the fight. So the people, verse 8, so the people took victuals in their hand and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man unto his tent, and retained those 300 men, and the host of Midian was beneath him in the valley. Now, I'm sure that as these 300 men stood on that mountain and they looked down into that valley, even though they had heard what Gideon had said about his call and about the signs and all that, as those 300 men looked around and saw how small a group they were compared to how big the group down in the valley was, that some of them might have wondered, what have we got ourselves into? What? I mean, this is not what we expected. And God knew that. And so God came to Gideon, and he said in verse 9, and it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise. Now again, so it took them just, so they got up early in the morning. So it took this whole day to figure out who was afraid so they could go home. And, you know, I don't know how big this creek was. It probably took them a while for 10,000 men to get a drink out of this creek. So that same night, now it's night of the same day, the Lord said unto him, "Arise, get thee down into the host, for I have delivered it into thy hand. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Phurru thy servant down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say. And afterward shall thy hands be strengthened to go down unto the host." Then went he down with Pharaoh, his servant, unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. So again, God knew what Gideon and these guys were thinking. So he says, I'm going to give them one more assurance. I'm going to give them one more sign that I have called them to this task and that I'm going to be with them. So he said, Gideon, I want you to take your servant. And he names him. And by the way, it's probably one of the 10 that Gideon had helped, got him to help tear down the altar of Baal. He said, take your servant, go down to the camp of the Midianites, and just listen. And what you hear is going to strengthen your hand and give you another assurance that I've called you to this battle, and I'm going to be with you. Verse 12. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. And their camels were without number as the sand by the seaside for multitude. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, behold, I dreamed a dream. And lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the host of Midian and came unto a tent and smote it that it fell and overturned it that the tent lay along. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand hath God delivered Midian and all the host. So as Gideon and his servant came to this camp, all they did was come up to the outside. They listened. Here was a soldier that had a dream. He said, I've just had a weird dream. A barley cake. Just a cake of bread. And barley cake was bread for the poor. If you were a little bit better off, you ate wheat cakes. But this was a bread, you know, a cake of bread. He said, it just was rolling. And it rolled into the camp of Midian and knocked down a tent. Can you believe it? It just tore down the whole tent. I mean, it just didn't bounce off of it. It tore down the tent. Now, isn't that a weird dream? I mean, just a little piece of bread rolling along and tears down this tent. I mean, a very unique, unusual dream. But the interpretation of it was very unusual too. Because here was another soldier of Midian said, well, I'll tell you what that means. That barley cake is Gideon because God has delivered into his hand the host of Midian. Now, just think about it. Some people might say, whoa, what a coincidence. Just when Gideon and his servant gets to the edge of the camp, this soldier has this dream. And while they're there listening, this other soldier tells them the interpretation of that dream. I want to tell you tonight, there is no coincidences in the service of God. God always has a plan, and he always executes that plan. It was God that gave that soldier that dream. It was God that gave the other soldier the interpretation of the dream. It was God that set up the timing so that Gideon and his servant were there to hear the dream, to hear the interpretation. And when Gideon heard that dream, he said, all right, let's go. God's with us, we're going to win. Back in verse 15, and it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshiped. He said, God, I sure do love you. That's what worship is, directing our love toward God. He said, God, I sure do love you. You have made this so easy for me. All my fear is gone. All my doubt is gone. I'm ready. And returned unto the host of Israel and said, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hand the host of Midian. I mean, he was talking about it like it already happened. Hadn't happened yet. He said, the Lord hath delivered the Midianites into your hand. Here's what he did, verse 16. And he divided the 300 men into three companies, and he put a trumpet in every man's hand with empty pitchers and lamps within the pitchers, torches. So here we go. Not only did God reduce his army down to 1% of what he started with, he said, I'm going to give you a unique battle plan. You don't need a sword. You don't need a spear. Just give every man a trumpet. Give every man a torch and put a pitcher over it. And I'll tell you what to do with them. Verse 17. And he said unto them, look on me, this is Gideon talking, and do likewise. And behold, when I come to the outside of the camp, it shall be that as I do, so shall ye do. When I blow with the trumpet, I and all that are with me, then blow ye the trumpets also on every side of all the camp, and say, the sword of the Lord and Gideon. Gideon didn't send them into battle, he led them into battle. He said, keep your eye on me, and what I do, you follow my example. They were on every side of the camp. So these 300 men had this. Now, and again, this was a big camp. I mean, there were thousands and thousands of men there. I mean, if you had camels that were like the sand of the sea, I mean, this camp was big. And so these 300 men spread themselves around this camp. And Gideon said, watch me and do what I do. Verse 19. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him, that's why I think there were 301, because there were three companies of 100, him plus the 100 that were with him. So Gideon and the 100 men that were with him came unto the outside of the camp in the beginning of the middle watch. So this was just right after midnight, okay? And they had but newly set the watch. In other words, they had just changed the guards. So these guards that were coming on duty had been asleep. They had just gotten up. They were probably still a little groggy as they took their post. And they blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers that were in the hands. And the three companies blew the trumpets and brake the pitchers and held the lamps in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands to blow withal. And they cried, the sword of the Lord and Gideon. So get the picture. So, I mean, here's the camp. It's just after midnight. The guards have just come on duty. All around them are these 300 men with the trumpets in their right hand and their pitchers, their torches with pitchers over them. And Gideon blew his trumpet. Everybody blew their trumpet. Gideon broke the pitcher so that they could see the torch. Everybody broke the pitcher so that they could see their torches. Then they hollered out, the sword of the Lord and Gideon. Now, most armies had one or two trumpeters. So here were 300 trumpeters. Here's the thought that went through the Midianites' mind. Man, this must be a gigantic army. Listen to all those trumpets. And I'm sure when they broke the pitchers, it was like lightning flashing in the sky. What is this? We are surrounded. We have no hope. We're beaten. And then that shout, the sword of the Lord and Gideon. I mean, not only did this one soldier know that who Gideon was, but probably the whole army did. And when they, again, heard the trumpets, saw the lights, heard the shout, they said, oh man, we are done for. Look at verse 21. And they stood every man in his place round about the camp, and all the host ran and cried and fled. They were afraid. I mean, they cried. And they ran. And the Israelites just stood there, kept blowing the trumpet. The sword of the Lord and Gideon. And what did these guys, and again, the Israelites had no swords. So what did God do? He used the swords of the Midianites. Verse 22, and the 300 blew the trumpets, and the Lord set every man's sword against his fellow, even throughout all the host, and the host fled, and I won't try to say those cities, and the men of Israel gathered themselves together out of Naphtali and of Asher and out of Manasseh and pursued after the Midianites. So when the host started to run, some of the other tribes of Israel said, man, we want to get in on this too. Now they had swords. They had spears. And so when the Midianites started to run, here comes the men of these three tribes said, we're going to get them. And again, the Midianites started hacking at each other because it was dark and they were scared and they were confused. And so they said, well, we're going to kill somebody. They didn't know it was their fellow soldier. I mean, they just started swinging their swords. And they killed a lot of their own soldiers. And then they started to run. And then these other tribes of Israel came after him. Verse 24, and Gideon sent messengers throughout all Mount Ephraim, saying, come down against the Midianites and take before them the waters of Bethbarah and Jordan. Then all the men of Ephraim gathered themselves together and took the waters unto Bethbarah and Jordan. This was a place where the Midianites were running. If they could get across the river, they could escape. And so the tribe of Ephraim came and took up a position there. And they took two princes of the Midianites, Oreb and Zeb. And they slew Oreb upon the rock Oreb, and Zeb they slew at the winepress of Zeb, and pursued Midian and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeb to Gideon on the other side Jordan. So Ephraim comes, guards the river, kills a bunch of the Midianites, and two princes of Midian they kill, behead, one by a winepress. Isn't it ironic? This whole thing started by a winepress. Gideon was threshing wheat, hiding by a wine press, so the Midianites wouldn't come and steal from him. And here it ends, so to speak, with one of the princes of the Midianites getting killed by a wine press. Now just think about it. I mean, isn't God good? Huh? Isn't he good? And I'll just remind you tonight, I'm about 5 minutes over time. I apologize for that. But listen, when we think that we have problems that are unsolvable, and we think we have difficulties that are so big we can't handle them, that the ground is ripe, the environment is ripe for God to work. Because when he works in situations like that, we have to look to heaven and say, look at what God did. Because we know in those situations, we can't do nothing. Can't do nothing. We're beat. We're beat. But that's the time God steps in and shows us that he is God and that nothing is impossible for him. Nothing. Nothing, nothing. I'm glad we still got a good God today. God of Gideon is our God, and he's still good. Let's stand and we'll have a word of prayer. Be dismissed.